It came from Bangkok, Maine.
Your name though is Wiehel. How do you spell your last name?
W-I-E-H-L.
W-I-E-H-L. Are you Florence Wiehel's son?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and your first name's Danny.
Daniel.
Daniel. Okay. Now your grandfather then was?
Alfred.
Alfred Mayo. Mm-hmm. And he came to Rampart first in?
No, he came to Fort Yukon.
Fort Yukon.
And,
In it, what year do you...
1873. He come down the McKinley, he come from Canada, down the McKinley River, and then up the fork of the McKinley into the Porcupine, and then he came, come down to Fort Yukon. And then they trapped there at Beaver River one winter, and then he went on down to New Lado. And then he started a trading post down there at what they call Old Station.
Found the key.
Yeah. You got a purse?
Oh, wait. Well, let's see. Yeah, I got a purse.
If you want to...
Yeah, just a second. So it's Alfred. It was Alfred Mayo.
Yeah. Jack McQuiston.
Did they come together?
And they do.
They came together?
Yeah.
And they came down the McKenzie, and then they came over to the Porcupine.
Yeah, I think Hopper was with him. There were four of them, I think, three or four of them. You might get more from Charlie Mayo.
Mm-hmm. That's your uncle.
Yeah.
Does Charlie remember pretty well now, or is he...
I don't.
Yeah,
I don't.
Well, maybe you can get some information from Lee Mayo.
Mm-hmm.
That's my uncle, too.
He's in Fairbanks, too.
Mm-hmm.
But, McQuiston and Mayo and...
Ledoux and Hopper.
Purdue?
Ledoux.
They came together, the four men...
I think that's
...were partners. Mm-hmm. So they landed in Fort Yukon in 1893. Well, just Mayo. Let's talk about him now.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went on down to New Lado and...
Yeah. Or down there, and then he started a trading post there at the Old Station.
Old Station, is that near?
That's below Tanana, 30 or 40 miles. I don't know how many
below
miles.
Below Tanana.
That's Callan's place.
No, it's below Callan. It's either
above. 30 miles is Callan.
It's in between there.
Oh.
Somewhere. And, well, then he bought a steamboat from the Shefflin brothers. They're the ones that discovered Tombstone.
Oh, yeah.
They came up here in the early days.
That's right. I remember reading about them.
And he bought this boat from them. Then afterwards, he sold that to Ledoux and Hopper, and they went up in Dawson and started trading for. And he was up at Circle for a while, up in the 40 mile. At 40 mile. Then he was up in river up in Canada, what they call it. There's a town called Mayo up there. Stewart River.
Stewart River.
Well, he mined for gold up there on the bars.
Yeah. Now, the town of Mayo is named after your grandfather.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, how about this Stewart? I thought, did he come in about the same time as your grandfather?
Know.
The reason I bring up the name, there's a friend of mine in Fairbanks.
Yeah.
Her father was Stewart, and she said that he, Alaska Stewart. Her name is Alaska Stewart, and she married Moody there in Fairbanks, and then he died, and then she married Jack Link, who used to work for F.E. Company.
Her.
Alaska Link.
I met her.
Yeah, I bet she
was
did.
Over here one year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, her father came... Well, anyway, let's get back to your grandfather. Do you do you remember him?
No, he's dead before I was born, I think.
Mm-hmm. And how many...
long before.
Yeah,
he was... Somewhere around 23. Yeah, 23, 25.
Mm-hmm.
Around 23 or 25, around there.
Do you know how old he was when he died?
He was about 76.
76. Did he die here in Rampart?
Mm-hmm.
Is he buried here too?
Yes, he's buried up on the grave there. There's an old cemetery up there where you can see the dead.
You can.
And there's some of the dates that goes back to 96.
Well, is the cemetery on the other side of the airstrip?
No,
on
this.
Or is it this side?
Halfway.
It's this way.
Yeah.
But on this side.
Can you see it from the road?
Yeah, you come down, you can see it.
You have to, it's a path leading up the hill.
That's where my father was buried and his sister.
It's no, there's no effort, you know, to get up.
He came here, my father came in 1904. He came here with his uncle, but his uncle coming in.
Yeah, Daddy, where's your dad from?
Huh?
Where's he from?
He's from Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Yeah.
Glencoe, Minnesota.
Is that right?
Then he really come out to Spokane, and when he was about 5 years old, he raised in Spokane, Washington.
And then he came up here?
Yeah, he came up here with his uncle. Mm-hmm. His uncle was up here in the early days, during the circle in 40 miles.
Yeah. His uncle, was his last name Wheel?
Joe Wheel. I think he died in the old man's home.
Down in Sitka?
Yeah.
Joe Wheel. Oh, I see.
Danny, not getting off the subject, is Frank coming in this?
Mm-hmm.
When will he be in, you know?
Next month sometime.
See, and he'll probably be taking the chopper, right?
Well, no, he's going to land there at Midlothian.
Oh. Hey, where is Fort Living?
Fort Gibbon?
Ford. No, where Ford? Everett. Where does he live?
Ford?
Yeah.
Everett Ford is out there at Esther.
Esther.
Oh.
I had Fox, I had, what else did I say?
Chattanooga. Olness,
and I couldn't find Esther, right.
He usually stops over with Everett Ford, right?
Well, he did this spring.
Yeah, so you stopped, yeah.
Well, I go out by Esther every once in a while. I'll stop.
You inquire from the postmaster where Everett Ford is.
Okay.
He has a little cabin. He's a likable, but he, at the moment, I think he's in the circle country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Could be. So your father, what was his first name again, Danny?
John Wheel. John Wheel Sr.
So John, your father came in with his uncle Joe. When?
1904.
Was Joe Wheel in over in the Klondike or Dawson area before 1904?
He was in here somewhere back in the 80s.
In the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came back in 1904 with your
father,
John Wheel.
Another.
He came about the same time with Tom Evans and Holly.
Yeah, we forgot Holly.
Holly.
Old man Holly.
Frank Holly.
Frank Holly was an Englishman who lived on Slave Creek for many years.
Frank Holly?
Frank Holly.
Mm-hmm.
He lived many years ago, and he used to mine with a stool. He'd sit on the stool and have a splash going, and then when after the splash, he'd pick up the nuggets. He would throw the rocks. Gentleman's way of mining. No kidding.
Did he get a lot of nuggets?
Old Tommy report.
Tommy?
He was old time.
He
come into Juneau in the 80s, when Juneau was struck. Yeah. He mined there in the Douglas Mines.
What was his first name?
Tom Laporte.
Tom?
Tommy.
Tommy Laporte.
Let's see. What was that red-headed guy that used to live back here, Danny? The trapper?
He was over here?
Yeah.
You mean Mike Sweeney?
Mike Sweeney. There was another colorful character. But he was a trapper.
Uh-huh.
Then, not getting off the subject, remember, your dad said this meteor. Did he see that?
No, not that very long before. He see one go over, but they seen it over in Quail.
Oh, it's not the one that Frank's looking for?
No. That was years ago.
No, because I have a recollection that his old man was telling me they saw that meteor at the moon and struck someplace, but, you know.
No, they didn't hear it there because they seen it over there at Quail, and it seen it at Quail.
Yeah.
He was down there at 12 Mile when he seen it.
So your father, John Weil, came from originally from Minnesota.
Yeah.
And your mother was Florence
Mayo.
And she
was born in Tanana.
In Tanana.
Yeah. She was her first 1897. Yeah.
And how about
Auntie? She was born in Old Station.
Old Station in 1894, I think she told me yesterday. Yeah. I talked to her for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
So Auntie said that she and I think there were
twins.
She had a identical twin sister.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the little identical twin girls out here today?
No.
The Dementis?
No.
Claude Dementis,
well,
little girls?
No.
Oh. We were talking with Auntie yesterday about identical twins, you know, and Kitty, up at Kitty's house, Kitty Harmon. Kitty had identical twin girls. Today I'm walking down here with Kitty, you know, and here are these two little girls. They came in on the barge.
Mm-hmm.
The Claude Dementoff's little girls from Holy Cross. Mary and
I have heard the name, yes.
They're only 7 years old, but they're identical twins.
Mm-hmm.
Cute little girls.
Not getting off the subject, but one character we must not forget that lived in Rampart and that made a name for himself, and that's Rex Beach.
Rex Beach?
Mm-hmm.
His cabin still stands.
No, that's Kitty showed it to me yesterday.
Yeah, there was a newspaper, they told about him when he came here in 96, got off the steamboat. All he had was a little suitcase and a mandolin or a banjo. Mm. And then when he left there with his first story.
What was it? Did you read any of his stories?
I've read, he wrote a story called The Iron Trail.
Mm.
That's out of Cordoba.
And then you read The Silver Horde?
No. That's about this area?
Well, that's in the Dawson in this area, too.
What? Did he write any stories on just Rampart area?
Yeah, he wrote several on there.
Yeah. What's, do you remember the
I don't know the name, but in one of the books, I got two of the books. I got The Silver Horde, and there's another one. And in the back of that, he's got about, maybe.
How much trouble would he get that? Get that book that the copies are in for her.
Oh, I can get the books in the library in Fairbanks.
Yeah, you can, and it tells all the books you wrote in the back end.
Well, no, I didn't mean to give it to her, but she could have got.
No, the, I can look that up, Harry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this one book he wrote.
You know
the
how
Iron
he died?
No.
He shot himself in Florida in 1949.
He did?
He had cancer.
Is that right?
He's writing a novel. I guess he couldn't stand the pain anymore.
How old was he when he killed himself?
I don't know.
Oh, Bernard. Well, how long did he
live? I remember I heard that on the radio.
Yeah.
On the news.
In 1949?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
How long did he live in Rampart?
Oh, a couple of winters, probably.
Mm-hmm. Do you think he built that cabin himself?
Yes, he built that. All the old timers said he built it.
Well, who lives in it right now?
My brother.
What's his first name?
Alfred Weil.
Alfred Weil.
Mm-hmm. I remember when they had the steamer Yukon, used to come down here.
Mm-hmm.
And the tourists used to go up there.
Yeah, it was quite a historic bad, you know, people want to see where Rex Beach was going.
I got to take a picture of that.
Mm-hmm.
Your brother Alfred lives there now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make a note of that so I can stop by there tomorrow
mm-hmm.
when the sun's shining.
Yeah.
Is it still raining out when you came in?
Mm-hmm. No, not much.
Well, your grandfather Mayo died before you were born.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did he have a trading post here in Rampart?
Yeah, right down here, just part of this building it's made out of.
Part of this building is his old trading post?
Yeah, this was right down here, where the NC store was. He built that in 1898.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. And then he sold out to the NC company.
Well, they must have rebuilt it.
The front part, the log building, was original.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Mm-hmm.
See, but they had
because he had a special, it was a guy, a real good carpenter on that, and he had cribbing underneath, that's why it's still up so much.
There's so much different logs that, you know, each man has his own form of, but the original building could have, yes.
And that other little one on the side where Webster State, that was a living quarters, see?
Mm-hmm. And that was once a beer joint.
Mm-hmm.
I found that in the office today. That, remember showing you?
Yeah.
It was a saloon.
Saloon.
Mm-hmm.
That picture, that faded picture you
had? Yeah. He probably would, I don't think.
Well, there was, you know, right down there where that pipeline where Carlos sits there on this side, where the road go out, there was one saloon there.
Yeah.
And then they had one right down here on the road, and then they moved it up to above where Carlo, where that Timon's building off in front there, the red front, they call it.
Oh, there was both buildings down there.
There were seven of them here one time.
Well, this is a big town one time.
Yeah. It was a city.
Big city.
6,000 people there in the Stampede. Well, we had a picture about that long.
Yeah,
so
I had one here someplace, but Lord, you don't keep. See, after the homesteads came in and broke it up, it's hard even to believe, because see these sheep of Galba, all that land where these homes were all scattered. Back.
Well, you showed her that map down there.
Mm.
This map of the town with somebody. It was a good artist that drew that. Yeah.
They took that map down, the BIA took it down, and they studied it for a while. I think I got it someplace here.
Mm-hmm.
That was the town when it was, during the stampede,
the
when it was...
It's the plaque. You know.
The plat,
yeah. Plaque of the town. But you could no more go by that today because you'd be infringing on private property.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See, and this whole area changed, so, you know, it thawed out and sank and it heaved up. And
you have lots of permafrost here?
Oh, yeah, this is all permafrost.
Yeah, I know. It looks like some permafrost sinks every once in a while. Well, Danny, have you lived in Rampart all your life?
Yes, I was born here. 1927.
Lived here all your life.
Well, I worked about 9 months or 8 months on the railroad, from 45 to 46.
Oh, he was out of Fairbank. He was in Fairbank.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I worked down in Whittier.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
There's 5 brothers and 2 sisters living.
And is your mother living in Fairbanks all the time now?
No,
or is
she
just
went there to get her eye operation.
Oh, I see. She's staying with Lee,
your uncle? I think so.
Mm-hmm. The gold pattern game is on. I bet you wanted to listen to that.
Did you go ahead? It'll spoil your tape.
Yeah. Well, we'll finish this one tape, and then I'll get out of your hair. Maybe, when we get through with this, Danny, can you drive me out to Carlos?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, good. Getting kind of late.
Yeah, you're getting hungry, too.
My father, one of his sisters, is living out in Montana. She's she's putting 90, close to 90 now.
Yeah?
Her name is Katie.
Did she ever... Mary?
Yeah, she's married. She came up here with him. And one died here, Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm. She's about 90, you think?
Yeah. to you about 4 years younger than my father.
Mm-hmm.
She was 89 last winter. She sent a Christmas card to my mother.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what town, but my mother knows what town.
Well, when your father came up here in 1904, did he just stay right in this Rampart area?
Mm-hmm. We worked for gold miners over here in Eureka.
Mm-hmm.
In Rampart.
Mm-hmm.
He worked 1 year for the AP company, one season.
Well, up here in the Rampart graveyard, are some of the grave markers still, can you still read them?
I wouldn't know. No.
I think you could.
You could probably find it, but I don't know. See, I...
There's an Indian grave up there at where Walter's camp is. Some of them, you could read some of them, and then there's a minister buried there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Catholic minister.
No, he's a Episcopal.
I don't know that.
The church that they had over here was Presbyterian. And then when they left, that was at Coons, was a Presbyterian minister.
Mm-hmm.
When they left, they turned it over to the Episcopal.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a church here now?
Well, there's none there now. But then the minister comes up in town.
He holds services in the cabin in your home.
Who is it, the Episcopal minister?
Yes, from Canada.
How many people live here now in Rampart?
You know, probably... Lizzie would tell you by vote count how much.
Just about everybody who's able to vote, I mean old enough to vote, does they all go vote?
Oh yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure whether how much votes they get, but you see there's an increase in voting. It'll be about 30, I imagine. 30 voters.
30 adults?
Yeah.
And...
Not children, we're not, you know.
You're not counting the children, yeah. Mm-hmm. No.
It varies from year to year.
Year to year. Mm-hmm.
See, you'll find more sometimes in the summer than all of a sudden somebody decides move down for the winter and they stay. See, they go as it's their wish if they want to live in some. People from the village will come down, some will go back to Fairbanks.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever take a trip on any of the sternwheelers, Danny?
I worked on a steamer Yukon and steamer Alice.
You worked on them?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you do?
Deckhand.
Deckhand?
I was Nenana, down to Galena, up to Circle.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly went to Fort Yukon.
Mm-hmm.
From Nenana to Fort Yukon.
Did you ever take any trips on them? Harry?
Mm-hmm.
Just going
White
outside?
Pass, the White Pass.
You went, what'd you do, go up to Dawson? And
no.
You mean over the White Pass Railroad?
When on my way in.
Mm-hmm.
See, that was the only way for me to get to Fort Yukon with my friend, Johnny Smoke. And then from then on, I purchased my own boat, and I was the captain and the crew and everything else.
The cook, the stewardess, deckhand.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a memorable trip because I was not in a hurry. I was not going anywhere. I didn't know where that Rampart existed, but the fortune of meeting Red Anderson. See.
He's the man you went to work for, or
I went out with.
Yeah.
But no, I never. Yeah, I worked for Red once, just maybe 10 days. This is a couple of years later.
Yeah, I see.
He happened to his partners quit him, and he wanted to put a little cut in on Quail Creek.
Quail Creek.
It was so rich, right? And then finally, they give it up. You know, I don't know, when you get that bug, when you get that gold bug bites you, you got that imagination that it's there,
yeah.
And you got faith in that. And the thing don't turn out. And he shook it off, and he had a family then. And he fed them what he took off. Of course, them days, $800 or $1,000 was a lot of money.
Yeah.
And you could always get, and that was a paradise for caribou, all that high country.
Yeah.
Thousands and thousands.
Easy to live off the country then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bear, caribou. See, the moose came in later after the caribou disappeared. Where moose were not, they don't get together. The caribou's too noisy.
Uh-huh.
So it drives the moose out.
Yeah, well, caribou are moving bands.
Yeah.
Moose just go by themselves, don't they?
Yeah.
With their calves?
Yeah.
Did you ever mine gold, Danny?
Panfort.
Panfort?
No, but I never went mining.
No.
I got some gold in that pan yet.
Oh, he has gold, but how much it's, of course, it is business, but you can pan a little every year.
Took me 2 years to get what I own.
Honestly, it's not just laying around dirty. It comes by hard.
You work for it pretty hard. Yeah.
I
know I got a sore back.
Well, the gold bug
is. It's a lot easier when you employ machines than it is pick and shovel. Now, those kids of a pan, that's so awfully little. You know, unless it's extremely rich that you could pan gold and make a living. Or prospecting is a determination of what possibly there is. But I remember, I'll give you an incident on Quail Creek. I sank a hole up in a creek called 13 Pup. It has money. And it took me about 30 days to put that hole down. It only thaw about maybe a foot a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I doubted that I could show you a dollar and a half worth of gold for a month. But it wasn't the idea. You want to know the depth.
You just want to know what's at the bottom.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And what there is on bedrock.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of gravel it is, how large it is.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what you're paying for. The determination of knowing what the hell you're up against.
Yeah, right.
And the depth is important. If you can get a drain to open it up. But no prospector ever makes money. Christ, he puts thousands of dollars in and gets nothing. But he gets knowledge.
But once in a while, one of them will hit something.
Well, suppose you hit even dollar ground, you couldn't, well, probably could take a drift out. But see, the prospector's not drifting. He's just sinking a hole to see how deep it is and see how much gravel he's got, how much muck he's got,
mm-hmm.
how heavy how big the boulders are. There. Mainly, what's on bedrock? Yes?
Men have. How much overburden he's going to take off to get to the goal.
Yeah.
You know, yes, on Blumenauk you could have sank a hole and probably made wages, yes, but that was very rich. Yeah. The yield out of Blumenauk was several million bucks.
Several million.
Sure. It was as rich as any Fairbanks ground, but it was a very small piece, you see.
Well, you said when you first came up to Alaska, you heard about Cripple Creek. That was Cripple Creek there by Fairbanks.
That's right.
Yeah, that was a very rich.
That's correct. And very it was rich through, creek. It was through reading and through mineral reports that possibly. I wanted to see the country, more or less. You know, it was interesting.
Did you plan, when you came up to Alaska, did you plan to make it your home, or were you just going to come up and visit?
Absolutely, had no more idea. No more than a tourist has.
Yeah.
I wanted to get away from the environment we had in the East. At the time, I thought it was the Depression. It was hard.
So you've been up here almost, on 40 years now.
So I took a trip up with the intentions of returning in the fall, you know. But how it happened, I couldn't leave this partner of mine.
Yeah.
We were not partners, but he was a
friend.
He talked to Blue Streak. He said, hell, we're going to sink a hole this winter. Well, we did. And by golly, we sank the hole. This was in November. And he says, now you get the wood and I'll go to town. We had a squaw in town.
Mm-hmm.
See? Yeah, well, family man. And we got about 10 cents on bedrock. God, it looked puny. And I said, well, he says, but we're going to drift this way and we're going to hit the bay. And he don't show up till March. So in the meantime, I was living in a cabin on the hillside, an extra cabin, not his, and I went on other creeks and sang. He showed me how to sink a hole. I was going out of my own. But I sank hole after hole, about as much as he did. Because it was out of the gold rain.
Mm-hmm.
In the second year, then I was on my own, see.
You've been on your own ever since.
Right.
Well, what do you have up on Ruby Creek? Do you have a tractor? And
we got two.
Two tractors?
Yeah.
You have someone working for you up there?
I can't apply because I have to come in. Now, if this delay, if I have to remain to see the body pulled off.
Mm-hmm.
See, what are you going to have, a man out there waiting for you?
Now, who is this who drowned?
One of the village boys.
Yeah, what was his name?
Alvin Henry.
Alfred Henry?
Alvin Henry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you've got I know a lot of people are in town from Hoar Beaver.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Help and look for him.
See, in fact, we thought maybe, just possibly, he'd be down river. It's too early. He won't raise up for a while. Oh, if the little you take out, see, you're not under obligation to nobody.
Yeah.
See, you can quit. If I want to work 4 days and come in, it's my business.
It's your business.